of the talks beforehand so that I got a feel for what the conference is. And speak slower. I was actually going to speak fast so that we could get finished earlier since we're running over, but I'll try to speak slow. So I was going to talk about credible and ubiquitous anonymity, privacy, and freedom and security. These are the kind of concepts I've been working on in the various work that I do, which is I do some part-time work for Tor, managing the translation community, translating the software and the website. And so I'm very familiar with Tor, and in fact, I guess I'm sort of representing Tor here as well, although Marco's probably much much more informed about the technology behind Tor. I also manage a social network called Tribe.net with my partner David, who's here as well. Our goal with Tribe is to create an open space for free speech that also respects privacy at the same time. And I'll go more into that later. And then I also work for a company called Strategic Social, which is concerned with cultural expression and empowering people in other countries. Right now, we do a lot of work in the Middle East, elections. Right. And media work, journalism, things like that. Okay. So in the social internet or social networks, anything that's going to be public is obviously not going to be private, but you can still have it be anonymous and it can be secure and it can be uncensored, which is our goal with Tribe. We also encourage people who want more privacy when they use Tribe to go ahead and use Tor. We're not, you know, trying to keep track of people and match them up and things like that on their IP addresses. And we're happy for people to have multiple profiles, right, so that you can present yourself, you know, I know a number of people do this on Facebook. They'll have their real self that they are friends with their family, and then they'll have their other real self where they're friends with their friends. This is especially popular probably in the Bay Area, but I'm sure they're not the first people to think of it, and many people do that. On Tribe, we have people who have as many as 10, 20, in fact, alts and characters. And they talk to each other, and they annoy other people, and they express different points of view. Why do they do that? Well, they for them, part of it is the fun of it. But they get a lot of people who are resentful of that sort of behavior. They want to know who they really are. And yet, we see no problem with people playing this, you know, game in some ways that causes people to think back and forth. You know, and a lot of people call it devil's advocate in English. I'm sure there's an equivalent in Italian. Anyway, it's a way to allow people to express themselves in freedom of expression, and that is, you know, where I come from, allowing people to talk freely and not feel like they're going to be entrapped in some way by what they're saying. So I know Marco talked a lot about Tor, so I'm sure all of you have heard of Tor now. Do you all use Tor, or have you used Tor? It's a very Tor-savvy group, I assume. You know, and do you encrypt your communication? Some things that have been coming up recently is the need to encourage people to always use security, to always use encryption, to always use the HTTPS option anywhere they go. And so these things are some of the things that the Tor project's been working on, continues to work on. Okay, another thing that's come up is wiretapping and surveillance, data mining and data selling, which is, I think, a big concern in social networks right now, that the things that people are putting out there are being captured. They're being mined, they're being sold for marketing purposes or for other purposes. I know of companies that capture information and profiles and their friends, their connections, and sell that with the idea that somehow this is somehow meaningful to maybe a credit reporting agency or an insurance company, things like that to be careful of on public spaces. I know recently in Italy, there was the suggestion that wiretapping may become illegal or not used. And this has been very interesting to us at work, actually, at Strategic Social, as to what the implications of that are, is that mainly, you know, for Berlusconi's benefit to disallow wiretapping, and I see everybody shaking their head, that's good, nodding their head, you know, or is it really a privacy measure? Is the wiretapping going to go on anyway? I think in the U.S., most people, with the in the last few years when wiretapping became very well known, what was going on, people now assume that it's always happening, which is, you know, probably the way to go if you're going to be using, you know, mobile devices, open internet, things like that. But should it be used against us? Should it be published? These are some of the questions that come up in my head. And then, you know, if you're publishing that information on the internet anyway, what recourse do you have, right? Does it have to link back, you know, to you if you've said something by mistake? Can it be forgotten? It's interesting that the talk earlier today about, I hope, the right to forget. Since it was in Italian, I didn't catch a lot of it, but I think that's what it was about. Also, an interesting topic that I know is popular in France as well, and in the U.S., there was recently a government and privacy conference that I was at where that was also, you know, the right to remove information. Does that somehow, you know, make it better that you've removed it, or is that somehow covering up or denying that perhaps you've done something wrong? Anyway, this then leads to, you know, how much free speech can we defend? Do we defend defamation, abuse, and threats, or do we still call those crimes? I think, of course, we still call them crimes, but that doesn't mean that the media that's allowing these things to happen is criminal in itself. We don't need to, you know, take down the internet just because somebody can use it for a crime, right? We don't take down, you know, telephones because there are telephone crimes, or streets because people can commit crimes on streets, right? So we can still define what is wrong in society without tearing down the technology around it or whatever it is that's enabling free speech at the same time as the abuse of free speech. Okay, so more examples in the news. At the conference I was at about a month ago, the Google Italy case was very interesting to people. Running a social network, we are very happy and, you know, confident that the Communications Decency Act absolves us of any liability when something is published on our network that may be committing a crime or may be illegal in some way. So that was somewhat disappointing. There was an issue or a case that came up in a newspaper called the Cleveland Plain Dealer, which is a paper in Ohio, where someone had written some comments on an article criticizing a lawyer. And the newspaper somehow, or, well, they obviously knew, they found out who the person was that had written those comments, and it turned out to be a judge in the lawyers that the lawyer had presented a case in. And did they do the right thing in exposing that judge? The fact that they had that information, was it legal for them to even expose that when, you know, she had thought she was being anonymous and thought that she was making very valid comments, you know, a sort of whistleblower type case? They ultimately apologized to her, but they didn't really say that they wouldn't do it again, you know, or that it was particularly, you know, a big mistake. But I don't know, sometimes we, you know, the need to know versus the need to not expose things gets caught up in a case like that. Yelp is a ratings site in the which I know is popular in the U.S. I'm not sure if it's used as much out here. There have been a number of cases where people have posted bad reviews on Yelp, and the owner of a company that's being reviewed badly wants that pulled down. And Yelp in some cases has agreed to do that. In other cases, they have allowed people to pay to have their top reviews pushed up to the top. You know, not so encouraging. And then again, wiretapping, which I mentioned earlier. Are we comfortable knowing that everything is being recorded? Is that really freedom in that case? And certainly isn't really security when we're trying to talk about, you know, things that may be very sensitive, you know, things that are going on perhaps, you know, in a family or that have to do with other secure questions. And then another recent thing that happened was where Google was pulling off data off of open wireless networks. Now the network was open, but did they have the right to capture that data and keep that data and store that data? And then subpoenas, the question of subpoenas comes up, especially for a social network. If we're asked to give information, how much do we have to give? This particular presentation goes through all the steps you can take to not submit information in a subpoena, to quash the subpoena, to make sure the people whose information is being provided are notified correctly, to give as little as possible. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, recently published a whole guide on refusing to give information and the fact that that can actually give you good press in the end, that companies are being rewarded for standing up to requests for information and not providing it. So the guidance generally is that if you're a service provider, keep the data for as little as possible. Don't even keep it at all. In the case of Tor, we don't retain any data except for the very, you know, barest of metrics, and even they are only recorded, and the actual data behind it is purged. And for users, the only way you can control where your data goes is to use your own hardware, control your own network, which so it leads us into the concept of cyber war. You know, are people after your data, after an institution's network? There was a conference that went on about cyber war. In fact, there was a lot of them in D.C., which is where my company is headquartered, about information war, trying to, you know, push either the free expression side or the security side. You know, we must control everything, or can we let people express themselves without placing so many restrictions that it's no longer free expression? When we think about it, it comes down to a power struggle, making sure people aren't getting out of control, and then you are no longer in a free society. Some people have pointed out that it's actually the copyright industry that's probably doing the most damage right now to the internet and security by telling people that they can't remember things, they can't record the things they see, they can't copy the things that they see without paying. And and that becomes then, you know, a denial of service. Okay, so hidden services on Tor, I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. I know the e-privacy site, or the Winston Smith site, has a hidden service as well. Just a few points about what they are and what they aren't. They are obviously only available on the Tor network, and they disassociate the owner and the user while still allowing the owner and the user complete control over the service themselves. And like I said, the content is available, but it's also vulnerable, right? Anybody can use Tor. It doesn't cost anything to set it up and use it. And once that content is there, it can still be captured, disseminated. But the important thing, again, is that the owner and the users of that content are disassociated from it, unless you choose to sign your name to it. In which case, right, no privacy technology can protect you from that. So always be aware, you know, of where you are, what you're posting, how long it's going to be retained, things that may haunt you later. We get so many requests on the social network to remove data, to delete people. You know, once it becomes known who they are, they want to be completely disassociated from that. Okay. A few more links about Tor where you can see, you know, the metrics that we keep, where Tor is headed, getting involved in the research that Tor does, and then the translation site. The languages that I focus on are mainly the ones in countries where there is significant boundaries to getting access to the internet: Chinese, Arabic, Russian, Burmese, Spanish, and Farsi. But we are there are many languages that it's been translated into. I know recently somebody asked for Ukrainian, and there's all sorts of languages. If you happen to speak a language well, I encourage you to go and help out. There's a lot of the Italian has been done, but there's always more as more and more things are updated on the website. I know the Android Orbot project was just put up for translation as well as the manual pages. So any help you can give us there is great. And if you happen to know people in the special languages as well, that's even better. Okay, so a little bit about circumvention. In the case of places where the internet is already blocked is a big reason why people use Tor. Roger Dingledine, who's one of the main developer of Tor, worked out this list of what circumvention tools should have, right? We want to have lots of different users that works in a lot of places, definitely in the place where you are, but you know, you don't want everybody coming out of one country. There's a new product that that is being put out right now that is mainly for Iran. And so one of the kind of criticisms of that was that if everybody in Iran is using it, then we know that users of that are all in Iran. Right. Tor also prides itself on having ongoing development now for, I think, close to 10 years. Open, anybody can look at the source code, decide for themselves if it's trustworthy. Most of the other anonymity and circumvention software packages are not open, so you don't know what's going on. In the case of the Iranian feature application, it is not. You would just have to trust the guy if you knew him, but if you didn't know him, you know. Decentralized, again, so that there's no place to store the information where it can be tracked down. It should provide some protection. When you're running Tor, you'll notice that you can't run Flash and you can't run a few other things that would be leaking your address. Recently, someone exposed that peer-to-peer networks leak information even over Tor, and so we tell people not to BitTorrent over Tor. Besides the fact that it bogs down the network, it is not going to be, it's not going to provide anonymity, right? It doesn't encrypt everything, right? You have to choose to use SSL, and you have to choose to visit sites that are SSL-enabled. It has to be fast, which is one of the big goals with Tor right now, and it has to be easy to get. And it can't be about promoting yourself, right? Tor is free. We don't sell it. We ask for donations, but all the donations go into the development work, not into the network. However, if you wanted to contribute to the network, there are projects to create more relays. Someone started a project called torservers.net to create a lot of fast relays that people can donate. We have to encourage people to make privacy and anonymity the norm, what you know everybody does by default, you know, unless there's some reason to not be. You know, we want people to think that being anonymous and private are okay, that it's not a reason to hide, that it doesn't take away from credibility. We want to enable access for everybody, which is, you know, a number of people are involved in goals like that, and encourage anybody who's using the internet to be informed, to use safe practices. Okay. So a few other things that are coming up, mainly Computers, Freedom, and Privacy in San Jose, California. Is a great conference. There will be everybody there who's concerned about any of those things this year. There will be a focus on networked societies. Tribe will be there as well, talking about the issues that come up, similar to you know what I've talked to today. These things continue to come up as we continue to educate people. A great site that's run by someone who formerly worked at EFF that we know and gives us some advice at Tribe as well. It's called Privacy Activism. The woman who runs that, Deborah, is producing comic books kind of aimed at a younger crowd to encourage children to think about these things, to know about them, to educate them on those things. And then, of course, EFFF is always our friend in looking for good answers to the hard questions about the internet, anonymity, privacy. Okay. And that's it.
Se ci sono domande che non vi sentite di fare in inglese, posso provare magari a tradurre. Ci sono domande? There is any question?
Italian's okay too.
I have a question about tribe.
Okay.
Are minors allowed in tribe?
No.
No, okay.
18 so, and over, right.
So the problem discussing about pseudonymity mm-hmm. was are minors protected from pseudonymous users in communities?
When you sign up on tribe, you state that you are over 18. So, such is the way with adult websites. And in fact, the issue of children on websites and then what leads to child abuse ultimately is a very hot topic, especially in the U.S., and so that is one place where we have to be very alert and careful and register with things like the National Child Protection Agency and make sure that, you know, we're reporting things that are clearly illegal and, you know, otherwise will be considered to be aiding it in that case. But we do get a safe harbor by reporting it when it's reported to us. We don't have to go after it, but we just have to report it after it's reported. Anything else? Or is everybody as tired as I am? Well, thank you for having me. It was I hope to meet more of you, since I don't know anybody here, so I was a little nervous speaking to a group of people that I don't know at all. So anyway, thank you.
Comunicazione di servizio, l'annuncio della crack al tesoro è già stato fatto. Più prosaicamente, una delle non scritte tradizioni di privacy è una cena in un ristorantino toscano economico che c'è qui vicino. Se qualcuno è interessato a essere conteggiato nella prenotazione dei posti, e basta, poi ognuno si paga il suo, mi passa qui da me, si fa sommare al totale, che non è già male. Per gli altri ci vediamo domattina, secondo i programmi, se potete venire. Grazie a tutti.